welcome back to the Coffee, Cake, and Kegels podcast. I'm your host, Stacey. Today we're going to talk about narcissists. I know it's been all the rage as of late. Everywhere you're turning, you're seeing symptoms of a narcissist, behaviors of a narcissist that, narcissist this, and it's been all over the place. I mean, I know every time we go on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, everyone is discussing narcissism. So I'm here to kind of simplify narcissism and to discuss the behaviors of a narcissist, since I have the honor of being related to one, actually to two. And to discuss the behaviors and how they go about life, and I will use their own life examples. So the first question we have to ask ourselves, because I do have a sadness in my heart for narcissists. Nobody is born with the feeling of grandiosity and the feeling or belief that, you know, they want to hurt other people and they want to go through life making people not like them and hurt their loved ones, right? Like, just, I always say this about addiction. Nobody is born saying to themselves, like, when I grow up, I want to be an addict and I want to ruin relationships and I want to, you know, hurt my loved ones and most importantly, hurt myself. No one is born with those. Those are not goals, right? Something creates this. Something provides a catalyst for people to be born with a personality disorder. And a narcissist is created because they are born from, they're not born from, I mean, some could be born from trauma, but it's not being born from trauma per se, it's growing up in trauma. It's also growing up with a parent or two parents who cannot regulate their own emotions. And the child creates this inward world, this inward reality. And that's where things get skewed. So narcissists often had a caretaker that they had to care for, or they were the soundboard for that caretaker. So let's say the mother was abused or neglected by the spouse, and the mother looked to a child to be her, you know, her friend, to tell them all about the wrongdoings of the other parent, to create this idea where this child felt the need to have to take care of the mother, or, you know, help her, help provide for her, things of that nature. And it could obviously go both ways. It can go to a child feeling the same way for a father. There usually has been some kind of abuse as well in that child's life, such as sexual, physical, emotional. And many times they are also raised themselves by narcissists or enablers. So, you know, they could have very bad behaviors and have never been told not to do that. It's wrong, you know, and never taught really to have a moral compass, like just to survive, do what you need to do. If that means stab someone in the back, go ahead. If that means break the law, go ahead. There was never any repercussions of any kind from the mother or the father. And like all personality disorders, multiple personality, bipolar, borderline, and narcissism, they develop as a way to protect the person. That is what is happening. So everyone's been hearing the term covert narcissist, right? And you're like, what the hell is a covert narcissist? What is that? So a covert narcissist has the qualities of a narcissist, but they're not as heavily played up. So covert narcissists are a little bit on the, they're more passive aggressive. So they will tease, they use sarcasm and backhanded compliments to hurt a person. They like to give the silent treatment. They are always feeling tired or exhausted, or they just don't feel well. They're always paranoid. And they really do survive on triangulation, which is where, so let's say a narcissist is married to a woman. He will seek someone outside of the marriage to kind of get advice from and then throw it up to the spouse. You know, well, so-and-so said this about you. And so-and-so said that this is the problem here. And they like to use that because it really is also a way to weaken the person, right? Weaken the spouse's confidence in themselves, or weaken their self-trust, because the narcissist doesn't want you to have good self-trust, because then you know to get rid of them. They are pathological liars. But aside from that, that's really more so just typical narcissists. So I'm gonna get into that also. But covert narcissists don't have a growth mindset. They don't really believe in self-improvement when it comes to emotions. So you're not gonna see them going to therapy. You're not gonna see them, you know, working on their inner child or their, not gonna be doing shadow work. They're not gonna be doing anything like that, okay? Covert narcissists only expect growth when it comes to material possessions or a title. So maybe they wanna be the president or the CEO. They wanna have a boat. They wanna have, you know, a Mercedes. Whatever feeds their ego is what they're looking to do. It's never to improve their own mental and emotional well-being. Never. They're usually always the victim. They love to flip the script and they find a target, and that target becomes the bad guy in every single narrative, every single one. For instance, the two people I know, one of them was a terrible father. He was an abuser. He was abusive emotionally and verbally to his wife and children. He had all of these things. He was always tired. He never felt good. He would never participate, you know, in holidays. He would come for an hour, then leave or whatever. And, you know, he left his wife with a ton of debt. He left her, he extorted money from her that he hasn't told anybody about. And of course, when he speaks of her, he has always made her the bad guy. He has made her the unaffectionate wife. He has made her, you know, anything not to fulfill his needs. However, she was a phenomenal mother. She was a phenomenal provider because he put them in debt up to the wazoo. And he would call his daughter a bitch. His son is homosexual, and he would always make references of that, you know. And now that he's with someone new, he is, you know, revered for what a great man he is and how he's so loving and everything else. But guess what? Narcissists can only hold this facade up for so long, and their true colors always show. And, you know, it's just interesting, you know, because they have this big feeling of grandiosity that they are amazing, that they're better than everybody, yet they're, you know, but they're always the victim. They're always the victim. Everyone always wrongs them. They're never in the wrong, ever. And they'll even lie. They lie so much to make themselves look like the better person. So, so they are also very hypersensitive to criticism. You cannot criticize a covert narcissist or narcissist in general. They are always very angry, and they are jealous of everyone around them. they want what others have. And, you know, they'll do whatever it takes to get it. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal. They'll break the law. It does not matter to them. They are above the law. So a little bit, so now regular narcissists, right? So you're run-of-the-mill, you know, there's all different levels of narcissism. As with any personality disorder, there are multiple levels and degrees to which people behave and everything else. But narcissism in itself are people, like I said, who are, you know, who have lived through trauma, abuse, etc. But one thing they're lacking is empathy. They don't have any real empathy. They may appear to be empathetic because they're modeling behaviors of others, but when it comes down to it, they don't have true empathy for others. They don't feel bad for people. They don't truly want to help people. They always abuse power. So they love to be in jobs of authority. You know, like if someone, you know, they'll take jobs where they know they can abuse their power. And that's scary and also very terrible. So when you notice a narcissist, a lot of times narcissists will dominate conversation and they manipulate their loved ones and engage in very deceptive behaviors for profit or that will help them get what they want. So another narcissist that I know, every time he gets a job, he has to manipulate and he wiggles his way in to get people to trust him and then does illegal things and then loses that job because they believe in their minds they're untouchable. They are not able to get caught. And guess what? They do eventually. Everyone gets caught eventually. They demand special treatment from their significant others. Validation, appeasement in order to feel good about themselves. They have an insatiable craving to be the center of attention or put on a pedestal. They have a very big sense of conceit, entitlement, and self-absorption. Another, the other one I know who, you know, left his wife that I spoke of earlier, anytime you engage in a conversation with him, he dominates it. It's all about him, his experiences, what he's done. And he always makes himself out to look like he's, you know, the smartest, you know, whatever. It's very difficult to even engage in a conversation with this person, and I often do not because I just can't bring myself to do it. I just can't. They purposely target victims who are prone to their initial charm, who are gullible, in all honesty, who they're easy to manipulate, people who are vulnerable, and those are the people they exploit. So there are 7 roles that narcissists play to receive the constant attention, to stroke their ego. So this role is the role of the know-it-all. They will criticize in conversation. Even if they listen to you for a moment, they go right back to what they were talking about. There's also the dominant controller or the judge or the savior, right? They may target and position themselves in a personal or professional relationship where they can dominate, judge, or criticize or marginalize others. So a lot of times they'll even come off though as, you know, the helper for a moment because they're rushing into the aid of others, but it's never to truly help, but they will help financially sometimes. They will be willing to pay bills or help people in a financial way because money equals control. But if you said to them, hey, I could use your hand, I don't know, remodeling my bathroom, you think you could come and give me a hand? No, they won't do it. But they may give you the money to do it, or they'll give you some money towards it. for instance, you know, in a power, in these positions of authority, it's even being a parent. You know, it may not be a job or whatever. It could just be the role of a parent, and you could see it as a father who's always putting their children down by verbally abusing them. Narcissists love to verbally abuse, or to, in the covert narcissist way, they make jokes. So they may call you names like, you know, like silly names that you think are just, oh, for fun, but they're hurtful. So that's another thing. Then they have, you have the merit badge collector. So that's a narcissist who purposely selects careers where they can be admired or feared. They're looked at as superior or important. So you will see narcissists take on roles as police officers because they could be above the law and they could also abuse the law. And the one particular person I know, that's what he did when he was a police officer. He abused his powers. Then you have the boundary violator or the exploiter. So they use persuasion and manipulation to pressure people into giving them what they want. And yes, this could even be their own children and their spouses. Then you have the show off or the bragger. And they like to show off themselves and how great they are, or show off what they have. So if they have a special car, a boat, whatever, it's about that possession. And then you have the habitually difficult. They're unreasonable. They start a fight with a partner when they don't want to go someplace or do something. The person, one of the narcissists I know, did this all the time to his wife. He would start a fight with her so he didn't have to come to family events. And then he would turn it around and blame it on her that she didn't want to go. And then they like to live through others. They're fakes. You know, they want to live through others because it will improve their own status and low self-esteem. So narcissists really do these things because they truly don't love themselves. They don't like themselves. They were never given any kind of, you know, they were never taught self-love by a parent. They were never encouraged to do the right things. A lot of times narcissists were raised, like I said earlier, with no moral compass. So they, you know, their mother, their father did not display any kind of morals. They just did what they had to do to survive, you know? And we all know the terms like gaslight, stonewall. And if you don't know them, I've mentioned them in another episode before. Gaslighting is when you tell someone, you know, you told me you didn't like my hair. And then this, let's say the husband says, you know, or the boyfriend, I never said that to you, you're crazy. Gaslighting is making the other person feel like they're insane. What they're saying, they're lying, they're making stories up, stop being a victim, blah, blah, blah. When in reality, the abuser did say those words and, you know, did hurt the person's feelings. So, you know, they love to gaslight and they love to lie. They thrive on lying. You know, you can ask a narcissist, you know, oh, how's your job? And they will go ahead and they will make up crazy stories or anything to make themselves look better or look victimized. You know, it's just really sad because they go on lying, denial, avoidance, you know, blame, guilt, shame, intimidation and threats, and playing the victim. That is how they survive. And pathological lying, like I said earlier, they get off on it. They have no reason at all to lie, but they love to have admiration and it improves their self-esteem because see, narcissists reject reality or they overlay their reality. So they want everything to seem better, bigger. You know, they're the best. They don't hurt anybody. Everyone hurts them. And they live this lie, and unfortunately, they do have people in their lives, usually their mothers and their fathers, who enable this behavior. They enable it. Instead of saying, no, this is not what happened, this is the truth, they just allow it and say, oh, my poor children, or whatever the case is, and it's not true. It is not true. And, you know, if no one calls the narcissist out, the narcissist keeps doing what they're doing. And that's it. But you know what's interesting about narcissism also is that a lot of times in a family where there's trauma, the whole family is sick. It's not just the narcissist. When I was a substance abuse counselor, that's my dog itching in the background. When I was a substance abuse counselor, we often talked about substance abuse being a family disease, right? It is not just the disease of one person. This person became sick because of a sick family system. I have seen it with relatives who were addicted to substances. I have seen it with even the narcissists, right? Their whole family is sick. Every single person in that family is not well. And I'm not saying my family is perfect, because we have, without substance abuse, we have eating disorders. And you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that my family is not perfect. So, you know, there are so many variables that come into play here, but everyone is sick in a family system. We always have the hero, we have the scapegoat. We have the hero, the child who always aimed high, right? Wanted to make honor roll, wanted to really make his family proud or her family proud. Didn't want to ever give any trouble, right? Then we have the scapegoat. That's the kid who's bad, who gets into trouble, who takes the attention off of what's really going on in the family. Then we have the lost child, the kid you don't hear about. He's always quiet. He was a great sleeper. He never gave anyone a problem. And then you have the jokester or the clown, and they're the funny kid. They're the kid that diverts attention, and they live through humor, or they try to make people laugh. And then, of course, you have the enabler, and that is usually a parent, most times. And that role can shift so many different times. It's like a mobile over a baby's crib. If you could imagine a mobile hanging over a baby's crib, right? And all the family roles are hanging all evenly. And let's say the scapegoat goes to jail, right? So now the scapegoat's out of the picture, cut the mobile, and now it tips. And all the roles reverse. And everyone, you know, or some children in the family take on double roles. Some children at every point in their life, they're going to be different. I know in my life, I have been numerous roles. I have been the scapegoat. I have been the lost child. I have been the hero. And I have been the clown. So I have been all of those roles in my family. So we could play all the roles. We could be one role. We could be two. The roles can shift at any moment. And that is how we try to survive trauma in a family system that's broken, that's unwell. I hate the word broken, right? None of us are broken. So this is all the hubbub lately about narcissism. And you know, you like, the word is also so misused. You could have, you know, I hear like young women all the time, like, oh my God, I dated a narcissist. He just loved himself. Okay. But was he abusive? Was he, you know, did he make fun of you in any way? No. He just loved himself. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That's not a narcissist. So, you know, these terms, just like bipolar, when people say, oh my God, like one day she's happy, the next day she's sad, she's freaking bipolar. It is such a misused term to describe a personality disorder. Bipolar disorder has moments of mania and manic. So that means they could have 3 weeks, they'll be in a manic state or longer, where they're severely depressed, they can't function, you know, they might lash out, have bouts of rage and anger or whatever. And then they could be having bouts of mania where they appear very happy, bubbly, yay, life is wonderful, and, you know, go about life, go to work and everything, but they're really falling apart at the seams because you cannot sustain periods of mania. They're just, you know, they're just unrealistic, right? So when we say these terms, we have to really think of the person, and you have to really kind of dive deeper and see what's going on. Look into their background. It's not just, you know, oh, she's just into herself. She's a narcissist. It's not about that. You know, narcissism has specific behavioral traits, as do all personality disorders. So, you know, and it's not also nice to kind of just throw these terms out haphazardly when you really don't know what a person is going through or what they're suffering from. So I used to look at these people that I knew with such hatred. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but I'm just being real because, you know, that's who I am. And I used to look at these people with such hatred and, you know, just disgust, because I knew what they were. But then I had to step back and say, but what made you this way? What made you this way? Doesn't mean you want these people in your life. You could love people from a distance, you know, but it is very sad, because it's a sad existence, because these narcissists repeat the same patterns over and over and over and never learn a lesson. And life is about learning lessons. When you become enlightened, you learn lessons. And narcissists, they are one of the most difficult personality disorders to treat, because they never believe they're the problem. They never do. And there are some people on TikTok who I've seen who are in recovery from being a narcissist. And it's really interesting to hear their side of the story, their take on what it was like living that experience and going through the process of healing. It's really been eye-opening and enlightening. And I don't, you know, I feel very, very sad in my heart for people suffering from this particular personality disorder. I feel for anyone suffering from personality disorder, because, you know, I know it stems from trauma and what was done to them as children. And you know what? It's not their parents' fault, right? It really isn't, because our parents can only give us, they can only give from what they've learned or from what they've received. So if we have a mother who wasn't really shown love, how can she show genuine love to her children if she wasn't shown it either, right? If a father was abused and unloved and felt unloved, how can he give? He could only give to what, you know, we could only heal others from our place of healing. And I've said that over and over, and it's the truth. So, you know, I just wanted to shed some light, that was a tongue twister, on this new rage that I keep seeing about narcissism, and, you know, just kind of explain behavior patterns, how they operate, but why they are this way. And, you know, just red flags in noticing narcissists, even, you know, when you meet a narcissist, let's say they're pursuing you, they come on strong. They come on strong and fast. They want to win you over very quickly. That is a red flag. So if you meet a man or a woman and she comes on super fast, super strong, wants to buy you, always buying you things right away, you know, those are just red flags. Stay away. So I'm sure this is not the case in every single situation, but in a lot of situations where people are unstable, that is the situation. So I wish you guys the best in your endeavors, especially if you're single out there today. It's crazy. I I'm very glad I am not single with all of this, especially, you know what, we know so much. We just know so much today that we're like, it's so hard. It's hard and it's good. It's a blessing and a curse. And I always say that. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, maybe even learned a little something. And thank you again for listening.